Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernanke and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do? Look at Mark.
I'm doing pretty well, man. The Hornets beat the Cavs on Wednesday to stop the bleeding, stop the two-game losing streak. We won 119-98. The big story from that game was the debut of Isaiah Thomas, who dropped 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and had 2 steals in 14 minutes. So he got to play because LaMelo was in foul trouble. So he got a lot of run in his very first game as a Hornet. What did you see from IT in his debut, Tim? What'd you like?
I liked how he is so fast. And I think part of it's due to, like, you know, he's a small guy, so they seem a little faster. Like, you know, when he got trapped on a pick and roll, he had no problem getting by the guys. Can't finish anymore, which is the problem. But yeah, still very quick. And the defense is as bad as advertised. Yes. With a team like us, it's not that bad. But yeah, he did have a defense mistake, his first possession, where he just pretty much ran away from his man. Because whenever there's an action, he just runs to guard who's ever in the corner. It seemed like they already practiced that. That's just in his DNA at this point. But yeah, I mean, considering the game before, we didn't have a backup point guard. Now we do. I like the Isaiah Thomas experience.
I do too. Yeah, it adds another ball handler, another playmaker. We really only have like 2 guards on our roster, with LaMelo and Terry. I mean, James Bouknight basically doesn't play, and I don't think you can call Cody Martin a guard. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas, he adds a lot of experience, a veteran player. He's well-liked. He's a leader. He also has 2 All-Star games, the same amount as the rest of our roster combined. He played in 2 All-Star games with the Celtics, and then LaMelo and Gordon both have 1 apiece. He's also 5th in MVP voting in 16-17 with Boston, a year where he averaged 29 points per game. So he's like one of the more famous players on our team, even though he's only on a 10-day contract. His career took a turn for the worse after his hip injury. He hasn't been the same since. But yeah, I like having him on our team. It's at least fun. He's bounced around the NBA for the past few seasons. Can you name all 10 teams that Isaiah Thomas has played for, Tim?
All right, let's give it a go. Drafted by Sacramento.
Yep.
Then went to the Suns, then traded to the Celtics, then traded to the Cavaliers, then traded to the Lakers, then signed with the Nuggets, then played for Washington, then New Orleans, then
we're
LA
getting to the 10
again,
day.
And then Dallas.
And then Charlotte. Yeah, that's right. That was correct.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go, yeah. So that is his basketball reference page right there. You got all the teams he played for. He's been doing 10-day contracts. Again, he had a 10-day contract with the Lakers, and then the Mavs, and now us. Do you want us to sign him for the rest of the season, Tim, or do you want to see him go after the 10 days up, potentially freeing up more minutes for Bouknight?
Since I just don't think Bouknight's going to get the minutes either way, I wouldn't be too hurt with an Isaiah Thomas signing, you know, pretty low upside, low downside, or high downside. But yeah, I kind of wish, and you know, like the Heat seemed to do this, where like they did it with Duncan Robinson and just every guy they have a wing, like just take a shot on maybe a younger guy who's 6'7" and shoots 32% from 3. Just like, you know, just try to have someone, you know, you can have get bird rights faster as well. But I mean, that'd be the only alternative. I don't see anyone else that we could sign. But yeah, we desperately need a backup point guard. And yeah, there's worse things in the world.
Yeah, when Ish Smith left, I was happy because I thought it would free up more minutes for Bouknight. But like you said, if Bouknight's just not going to play, we do need another guard. And I mentioned this briefly, like he just increases the likability of the roster. Like the roster is a lot more fun with Isaiah Thomas. Not that we weren't fun already, but we're even more fun now. So I like it. Him and Terry obviously play together. We have like the entire Celtics team of him, Terry, and Gordon Hayward, which is pretty wild. I posted this poll on Twitter asking if people wanted us to keep him for the rest of the season. 56 people said yes, 10 people said no. So pretty resounding poll there. Actually, it was on Instagram. I think I said it was on Twitter. But pretty resounding yes that people want IT for the rest of the season. And I think I'm here for it. At least he's willing to shoot threes, which Ish Smith was not. And he's just going to be a spark off the bench. Like his first game was kind of, I think, what's going to happen a lot of the times with him. He was bad in the first half, or like not great in the first half. And they came in the third quarter and just scored 10 points, like very quickly, like in like 5 minutes. So I like the signing. I like the move. We needed a little bit of life. And I hope he stays for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Another, I feel like now we're saying this every week. Man, the league moves fast. You went from fifth in MVP voting to now 10 days. You know, Terry was his backup for a long time. And yeah, it's just like, wow. You know, we were arguing about who's better, Isaiah Thomas or Kemba Walker, and now they're both essentially dead. Small guards not age well.
They're both like not getting a lot of minutes at all. So other takeaways from the Cavs game, or you got something else on IT?
I was going to say it gives me anxiety to watch him because like this is a guy playing for his basketball life, and you can kind of feel it. He is fighting so hard over screens. Anytime he were to miss a shot, you could tell it's like, oh man, this might be it for me. It's like, wow, that is some high pressure for a random, you know, February, March game in Cleveland.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, he is playing with a lot of intensity. So I like to see it. And you can't not root for a 5'9 guy. Like, it's just hard. I mean, he's fun to watch. That's right. So other takeaways, LaMelo only played 8 minutes due to picking up 3 first quarter fouls and another one early in the third quarter. So that's an issue with LaMelo's game that we haven't necessarily talked about a lot. He's 6th in the NBA in total fouls. He has good defensive anticipation, but that leads to like these random fouls that other players just don't get, like reach in fouls and stuff. I don't think that happened necessarily in this game. He got a lot of like good fouls actually in this game. But he has an issue with fouling too much, and that's something he needs to work on for sure. I think he should have checked back in the fourth quarter. I don't really know why James Borrego felt the need to keep him out. He still had 2 fouls to give, obviously. And when the lead was like shrinking, if LaMelo hadn't checked back in and the lead had shrunk more, that would have been an issue. I was a little upset about it in the moment, but like 2 days later, it's not that big of a deal. I wish he had played in the fourth quarter. I don't really know why we didn't put him back in.
Yeah, I guess, you know, want to keep his legs fresh. But yeah, that is that's one of like my coaching pet peeves. It's when a guy gets, you know, 3 quick fouls. You're like, you know, foul in the second quarter, third foul in the second quarter. Oh, let's just take him out. But it's like, you know, you're worried about him fouling out. But what you're doing by that is essentially fouling him out on your own. You're not getting any production out of him. Yeah, it's like I know the Pacers fans know this because they lost that first round series to the Cavs because Victor Oladipo only played like 25 minutes and ended up with like 4 fouls at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So if we had lost, it would have been chaos. Twitter would have erupted with LaMelo not playing. But yeah, I think when the lead shrunk to 13 points, we should have put him back in, but it ended up not being a big deal because we won the game. And at the end of the day, I mean, he got some rest. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Mark, we didn't win the game. We dominated the game.
We did dominate the game. And the key to dominating that game is Terry Rozier continues his hot stretch. He was lights out. Kelly Oubre had a hot first quarter. You said it last game, our last podcast, that whenever he has a good game, bet the under on the next game so we can expect a bad game from Kelly on Saturday, tomorrow, against the Spurs. But he was hot in the first quarter.
It's good because he already knocked out 3 bad quarters in a row after that. So
true. So he's coming in with 3 good quarters, I guess, on Saturday. Cause yeah, he had 14 in the first quarter, and I want to say he ended with like only like 19 or something like that. So yeah. And then also I want to mention that PJ Washington, I thought, was pretty good in that game. Normally I don't say too many good things about PJ, but he like got to the rim a couple times. He was hitting his open threes. He looked a little bit more confident. I think he's been playing better as of late, just like in, you know, eye test kind of thing, not really digging into the stats there, but I think he's been playing better.
Yeah. And a guy with like, you know, the thing with PJ is like the baseline for him to be like a good contributing player is like really low. Like he doesn't have to, you know, be Draymond Green on defense. Just like give some ample rim protection, box out and hit open threes. That's like all he has to do. And yeah, he definitely did it against Cleveland. Especially, I mean, we just got physically dominated by them the last 2 games.
Yep.
So it was jarring to out rebound them. Like I kept checking. I was like, this can't be right.
No. But,
yeah, that was the case. They made a note in post game interviews to talk about how they were really zeroing in on Jared Allen, which wouldn't have guessed that before the season. But they did a good job.
Yeah, it was a great game. And PJ finished 5 for 5, by the way. So just about all you can ask for from PJ, 5 for 5 with 12 points. Any other observations from that game?
No, I would just say that Yeah, hard to really take too much away from such a strange game. Oh, Miles had a fantastic game.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't score a ton, but you had like 5 assists in the first half. Eric Collins just kept saying, you wouldn't have seen that as rookie year.
He said that like 5 times, yeah.
Yeah, he did. But no, Miles was just all around awesome. And then, you know, once that lead did, you know, shrink a little bit, he just started taking Jared Allen off the dribble. He did it like 2 possessions in a row. He's the one guy. It was weird. We were petrified of Isaiah Stewart, but then we played Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. He's like, oh, let's just get to the rim whenever we want.
So. Yeah, I will say Darius Garland, pretty good. I've said my bad things about Darius Garland on the podcast before. He had a nice game against us. That was about the one upside for the Cavs in that game. Yeah, we split the season series with them 2-2. We won both the games in Cleveland. They won both the games in Charlotte. Kind of strange.
This is my pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's Terry's hometown. Terry always, you know, I think, what did he have, 43 in the first game of the season last year against Cleveland, always shows out against him. And he says it's because, you know, that's his family. That's where he's from. What if we just paid to have Terry's 30 closest friends relocated to Charlotte and just give him tickets every game? If it was guaranteed we'd get 27 a game from Terry, why not? That's not that like much money for MJ.
I like it. Instead of making a big like off-season sign-in with a center, just pay Terry's closest friends to move to Charlotte.
Little Terry's slice of Cleveland. Why not?
I like it. Question that we got from Winnow, which everybody can subscribe to at the link in the show notes, from Aaron Barton, who asked, I know y'all already talked about the chances of Borrego getting fired, but talk about what you do differently with the rotations than him. So, Tim, what would you do differently than James Borrego? We didn't say that he should get fired, by the way, in case you haven't listened to the previous episode. We said there's like a very low percent chance of that happening, but we still have some issues with the rotation. So, Tim, what would you do differently than James Borrego? Big Jim.
I love this question and questions like this because everyone is like, you're always so smart. And then you actually like sit down, you break down, you're like, this is a pretty tough job. So what I would do, I would actually lower LaMelo. I would keep LaMelo around 32 minutes a game. And I initially was thinking pair him and Miles as much as possible. But then I realized then you get a lineup where it's Terry, Cody Martin, Montrezl Harrell, and Kelly Oubre. Not a lot of ball movement on those lineups. So if anything, I would have Miles and LaMelo stagger minutes a little more because I trust Miles to run the offense more than just Terry, which I know sounds kind of weird, but that's just my gut feeling. I would cut Mason Plumlee down to about 20 minutes. Give Thor some more minutes, kind of split those up between Thor and Harrell. Yeah, you know, the hot take, start Cody Martin. Terry Rozier just shoots. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so I would say more Book Knight, more Kai Jones, more of the rookies, and less Plumlee. And that's really, really all I got. Maybe a little bit less Cody Martin too. But I think for the most part, he does a decent job. It's at times where you're frustrated with lineups when LaMelo plays 25 minutes and Plumlee's playing 30 minutes. That's always an issue. But for the most part, the averages seem to check out a little bit. But what you said about cutting down Mason Plumlee's minutes, like he's at 24 per game right now. If you bring that down to 20, that's a big drop. That's 4 minutes per game. Play somebody else at the center position. Play PJ Washington. Play Trez. Something else instead of Plumlee.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And also, at the end of the day, I always say this. We're not winning a championship. Let's put a good product out there.
All right, so moving on from there, we got another segment of just random offseason thoughts. A lot of Hornets fans have been talking about Mark Williams joining the Hornets in the offseason with a draft pick. He went to Duke. Not a big history of Duke centers panning out in the NBA. Mason Plumlee, Big Vern. Not the best history of just Duke players in general really panning out in the NBA. But he's 7'1 with a 7'7 wingspan. Tim, what are your thoughts on Mark Williams?
If this is where it comes, like if we get the Pelicans pick and our pick, like if we have 2 picks, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I'd be a little less hesitant, but he doesn't seem to have the quickest feet. I know he averages around 3 blocks a game. He gets a lot of alley-oops, but he doesn't really explode. Like he's not dunking over dudes. He's not like the quickest leaper, but I guess when you're 7'1 and 7'7 wingspan, it's a matter, but like, unless he turns into like a Rudy Gobert type, he's not really going to be able to defend on the perimeter at all by the looks of things. But you know, if we employ like a Terry Stotts style, like drop coverage and just funnel guys into him, maybe it would be worthwhile. But he is a sophomore and he's only averaging 11-7, 71% shooting, you know, about 3 blocks a game. But yeah, we just took another like project sophomore center in Kai Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure why we would need to draft another center with like a very similar trajectory, except Kai Jones is like more athletic, way more athletic. And yeah, I'm not super high on him. Like we said about Duke, and you mentioned earlier, not a single player in the NBA top 75 was from Duke. So I mean, it's got to be kind of random, right? But like, yeah, the Duke centers do not have a history of panning out. And Jahlil Okafor, I forgot to mention him earlier too. So like, lots of Duke centers not working on the NBA.
Nope. And you know, when in doubt, especially like, you know, in the teens, just throw darts at wings. Like, yes. Why not? Because, you know, granted, like, a lot of them aren't going to work out. Might as well just take two.
Yeah. No, I agree. We'll do, obviously, more draft coverage in the offseason. We'll dive deeper. I have not started that process at all yet. But, you know, I'll watch hours and hours of film here soon. So another thing that has been floated around by a couple of my friends and Iconic Delivery on Instagram messages saying we should try to get Zion. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be pretty sick, Tim. It would be pretty sick to have the LaMelo-Zion pairing. It's nice to dream.
You know, we just got to bring Big Z home. Why not, you know?
Bring him back to the Carolinas.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like his family's kind of running his whole deal anyway. So, yeah, you know, he's a Carolina kid. Bring him in here. You know, Charlotte, sure he won't gain 45 more pounds here.
Yeah. The food down in New Orleans is pretty good. I've been there a couple times. Nice Cajun dishes. My mom's from Louisiana. I'll be down in Louisiana for a wedding in a couple weeks, so I'm looking forward to some Cajun food. But down in Charlotte, not the same food selection. So he would probably drop a few pounds. He would stop getting hurt so much, and he would be great for us. It's fun to dream. That's not actually going to happen. I'd put it at approximately a 0% chance of happening, but it is fun to dream about it, Tim.
Let's throw out what it would take to get Zion.
Okay. Miles Bridges. You said earlier, Miles Bridges, Kai Jones, and a first round pick.
Yeah, we'd have to throw in, yeah, either Book Knight or another first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably
along
true
with that.
It's a high price. It's just not going to happen. I mean, there's like 0% chance of that happening. Also, his value is like in an all time low right now. Compared to where it was a couple years ago. So maybe it would take less. I don't, but they'd get better offers from other teams than if we worsen that offer. So yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be the team that gives up 8 first round picks, you know, yeah, including pick swaps.
I'd rather just keep Miles Bridges. I love that dude, which is moving us on to the next thing on this list. We got to re-sign Miles Bridges, dude. There's some buzz about like him, you know, getting an offer from one of the like worst teams in the NBA, like Pistons or something like that. We better re-sign him, dude. If we don't, that would be a heartbreaking development this offseason. So he's gonna get paid, and we gotta obviously match what other teams offer. Yeah. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, my fear is that the Pistons give him some like 3-year deal with a player option. So if I was us, I would just try to lock him up, get as many years on him as possible. As we've said multiple times, leader in the locker room, but also arguably our best player. Him and LaMelo have great chemistry. He's gotten better every single season.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, this would really test our Cade versus LaMelo debate even more if he goes there and flourishes.
Ooh, true. Yeah, so hopefully we get that done. One more thing on this list, we're pulling for the Pelicans to win the play-in tournament, make the playoffs, because if they do, we get another first round pick and we can draft Mark Williams twice.
Yeah, no, we're rooting for the Pels. One thing that I know it's going to come up in the offseason, it's already started to come up, and it's really just like my big pet peeve of this season, is people talking about the Gordon Hayward contract and Gordon Hayward and just saying, well, you know, man, when he's healthy, like it's always that caveat. And
yes.
What I would compare it to, it would be like if we were going to a wedding, me, you, a couple guys, and you all paid me $30 to essentially be the Uber to go there. But then we get there and there's an open bar. So what ends up happening is, man, Tim is way too drunk to drive home right now. But it's like, who wouldn't see that coming? Like, you guys would have had, like, where's the foresight there? Of course I would get smacked in an open bar. And of course Gordon Hayward's going to get injured.
Interesting. Interesting analogy, Tim. Yeah, Gordon Hayward gets hurt every single season. It's heartbreaking. As we mentioned last episode, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, Gordon. And nice little movie reference for you, Good Will Hunting. Everybody check it out. But yeah, if he was healthy, we would be, like I said, the sixth seed. And you disagreed, but I still think we'd be the sixth seed.
Yeah, I do not think we would be the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, with the Kelly and Cody slumps, it's probably, yeah, we'd probably still be losing some games. But I miss it, man. I want him back.
Hey, well, hopefully we trade him this offseason. Just throwing that out there. I don't care about if he's not at, like, peak value. I think I'm done with it. I don't want to do this again next season and have to act surprised when he gets hurt in February.
Yeah, I'd be down for a trade as well. Obviously, I'd want to see what we get back, but I think we can find some suitors, maybe like in the Pacers. And yeah, I do just kind of think, like, he came in, he made our team more respectable. And let's get out of, like, that, especially that last year of the contract. He's going to be even older. Let's try to ship him while we can. I think I do agree with that, even though, you know, I'm admitting that he's a good player. Like, we're not denying that, but, like, he just doesn't fit in with the timeline of the rest of the team. So I agree with you on that.
Get him out.
All right. We're bringing in Caitlin Ferland, for the return of everybody's favorite segment, Caitlin's Corner. What's up, Caitlin?
Hi. Can't just, like, tell people my last name.
It's on the Patreon. We say it every single episode.
A great listener right there.
Starting off well.
I only listen to Caitlin's Corner.
All right. Tim, take it away.
First of all, Caitlin, could you turn your notifications off?
Yeah, go ahead and turn that phone on silent, Caitlin. We're leaving all this in, by the way.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Oh, okay, never mind. let's hop in. All right, so Caitlin, Caitlin and I, Mark as well, and Isaac Black went to Caitlin's first basketball game since the pandemic. First time in an actual excited Hornets arena. Caitlin, what were your thoughts on the Toronto Raptors game?
Well, not only was it my first game since the pandemic, that's my second basketball game ever. And I had a great time. I successfully missed the first half of the game.
Yeah, y'all were getting drinks for like a half hour. I was like, where are they?
I know. Why do you think that we did that?
I don't know.
Exactly. So we didn't have to sit there for 30 extra minutes and listen to that one annoying guy in the background, like, yelling about whatever he was yelling about.
That might have been me.
No, it was some other annoying person.
Joke's on Caitlin, though, because we made her stay to the very end of a 40-point blowout.
Yeah, so no thoughts on the Raptors, Caitlin? Like, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam didn't do anything for you?
I don't know who those people are.
Okay.
But the only thing that I did contribute to the game is when I yelled, fuck you, Canada.
Oh, nice. All right, any other questions for Caitlin, Tim?
Yeah, the other day when we were doing some lineup research, I was kind of befuddled by Mason Plumlee being in so many of our positive lineups. And I was like, Caitlin, the eye test, I just don't get it. And Caitlin kind of stumbled upon the concept of team chemistry on her own. Caitlin, would you like to kind of explain yourself, your findings?
Yeah. So when you were talking about it, you're like, he's not that good. And I was like, well, I don't really see how that matters. Maybe you don't have a good time, or like you're going out and doing something not that fun, like me going to a basketball game, but I'm with the people that I like and I'm having a great fucking time. So I think about that and I'm like, well, maybe he does suck. Maybe he is a terrible player, but maybe he's a good fucking time. Maybe he's a good hang. Maybe he is encouraging all the people on his team. Maybe he's saying the right things. I don't know if other people are like researching this or what the basketball writers community.
So you,
I don't
want,
know.
You want a statistic that can derive value from vibes.
Mm. Yes. And if the vibes are bad, you get to go home.
The vibe rating.
Mm.
Kaylin's vibe rating. I like it. I like it. Apparently, Mason Plumlee brings good vibes.
Caitlin's vibe raider.
Ew.
Okay.
Vibe raider.
I think that maybe I'll just create a test and I'll send it to each of the basketball teams and they can give it to their players. And how are your vibes today? It's a vibe check.
I like
who's it. Got the, vibes, who's got the worst vibes in the league?
Yeah, that's a good question. Kelly Oubre has the best vibes, I think.
Probably Gordon Hayward.
That's probably correct. That's probably correct.
He just looks like he'd be a bad time.
All right, I have a question for you, Kaylin. So listeners want to know, last week we mentioned on the podcast that me and Tim were going on a double date to the game. Date went well. You know, we went to the game, then we went and sang some karaoke. You know, I bust out my vocals and then, you know, we walked to the bar having a good time and I texted her, Caitlin, or I DM'd her asking her for a number. She didn't respond. So it's Hornets and Heartbreak. Time for Heartbreak Corner. What went wrong, Caitlin? You gotta tell me.
Are you open to, God damn it, she's texting me.
Live text. Oh, she might be coming around on the podcast. She might be like, what's Mark did tonight?
Well, what is she doing tonight?
No. Did you listen
to the question?
Are you texting while on the podcast, Kaylin?
Literally, she's upset. Okay. So, Mark, what is your middle name?
It's Wallace.
Oof. I don't know about that one. I was going to ask if you were maybe open to changing your name from something else besides Mark. Because Mark, the name, has bad vibes.
What?
For yes.
Is this the reason why she didn't give me her number?
Is part of the reason.
That's, I just don't believe you.
It's her ex-boyfriend's name.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Shit. I can change my name.
I mean, I don't really think Wallace is any better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wally.
How about like Kyle? I don't know.
No.
That's even worse. Are you chugging monsters?
All right. How about Daniel?
He does have a backwards hat on right now.
Daniel?
No, my dad's name is Daniel. That's bad vibes too.
Okay.
LaMelo.
Any other reasons, Kayla? Just the name. That's it.
I think that she is trying to figure some things out.
This isn't telling me what I need. No, I just need to improve for next morning's game. I got to.
I think
did you tell her you can almost dunk?
I can almost dunk, Kaylin.
So Mark has to get more toxic.
That's what we're saying. More backwards hats.
Loud and clear. Yeah.
Yes.
Change your name to Kyle.
Okay. Yeah. Kyle's a douche name. I like it.
Yeah. Kyle is a douche name.
All right. It's been real, Kaylin.
For everyone.
Thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right. Shout out to all of our Patreon supporters and our Winnow supporters, Aaron Barton, Dan Joseph, Isaac Black, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Austin Johnson, Rob McMillan, Brandon Garcia, and Caitlin Ferland. Thanks to everybody for supporting. You can find the links in the show notes for both Winnow and Patreon.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen. And if you could be so kind as to rate, review, subscribe, we'd really appreciate that as well.
I like that you brought that back. If you could be so kind as to rate, review, subscribe. Sounds good, Tim. Sounds good. You're back.
We're asking for favors.
All right, dude. It's been real.
It's been real, Liquor Mark. Be safe out there.